Good morning and welcome. What a beautiful day it is today. I would like to ask you... For those who are able, please rise for the call to worship and then remain standing for our first song. Come one and all, gather together, for this is the day of the Lord. Let's gather at the river by the throne of God, for there is a blessing forever. From the throne of God flows a mighty river of peace and hope for all God's people. And there shall be rejoicing at the sight of the healing waters. Our journey brings us to God's wondrous river of life. Praise be to God, who has drawn us from the darkness and filled our world with light.
How lovely on the mountains are the feet of them who bring good news, announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns.
Welcome here on this beautiful Sunday, sunny morning. I'm afraid it's going to change my clocks a little bit. The weather doesn't show sort of that we're getting closer to Christmas, and it's time that we get a lot of busyness going around. So we have to bear in mind that Christmas is coming soon, and on this Peace Sunday, it's kind of leading into our holiday season, and we could hear the choir this morning, so it was wonderful. Are there any guests here that would like to be introduced? Anyone who would like to introduce themselves? No? Welcome, everybody. It's good to see all these wonderful faces sitting in our pews. I'm going to go to the announcements, and we'll start with the bulletin and the events. Now, there was something that was in a bulletin a few weeks ago, and it hasn't been reiterated, and that is the Friends of the Mennonite Center in Ukraine celebrating their 15th anniversary of their organization. Now, that is happening on Saturday, November 19th at 7 p.m. There is a poster in the foyer, so you can have a look at that. Later on in the month is Joining Emerging Voices Initiative, and that's something that Tim is involved in. That is in the, it's in the bulletin, Sunday, November 27th at CMU at 7:30. And it's a conversation about the future of our national and area churches. Anybody who's interested is welcome to join in, whether you're a new believer, whether you're in, you know, a veteran of our Mennonite heritage here in the city. So everybody is welcome, and they'll discuss any of the challenges that are facing the church right now. And then tonight at 7 p.m. at Jubilee Mennonite Church, they're join us with the Interfaith Community Prayer Service. Pastor Weeb is one of the pastors that will be leading that service tonight. So, and the theme is Reclaiming Hope in Uncertain Times, and that kind of seems to be the theme with some of the events that are taking place. Is there anybody who would like to share something today? We do have a roaming mic. All is well. Okay, I have an update on Stephanie and Simon. The bulletin is a little bit out of date. Stephanie will be discharged today, but Simon will be in intermediate care at Health Sciences, so they're going to be traveling back and forth between home and the hospital. And Stephanie's parents will be here until Friday, they've been here from Friday, and they're going to be leaving today and going back home. And Tim's mom is coming on Wednesday. So if anybody would like to visit Stephanie and baby, please text Tim, and then he'll sort of make suitable arrangements. And now, I got a new bulletin today that Rosa Clausen's brother, Franz Riediger, passed away on November 7th. Rosa's husband is Heinrich Clausen. And there was also a bulletin about Ella Bickert. Please keep Ella Bickert in your prayers. It seems that her move is causing her a little bit of anxiety. So let's keep her in her prayers. And we would also like to send out our sympathies to Mary Gunther, Judy, Alvina, Laura, Janice, Melinda, Greg, their families, and Ike and Anna Gunther, the grandchildren, great-grandchildren. The funeral was held here yesterday. John Gunther was age 90, so he lived a full life, and he had a wonderful big family. And let us remember him in prayer, or in song, as we sing Nim Jesu Meine Hände. We will be singing verses 1 and 3.
Und führe mich bis an meine Heiligende und dich.
Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, as we worship together this Peace Sunday, let us give thanks for the peace we enjoy living in this country. Be with those to whom peace is but a tiny hope. Let us all pray together that this hope can become a reality. Let us also remember and pray for those whose inner peace may be shaken due to personal circumstances, be it physical, emotional, financial, or spiritual. Let us pray for those who celebrate new life and those who mourn the loss of life, and to be reassured that to everything there is a purpose. Provide comfort to those in our congregation who are suffering, and the list is many. Let us begin with Mary Gunther and her family, Rosa Clausen and her family. In the hospital, we have Susanna Buller. Bethania, there's Martin Bergman, Agnes Dirksen, John Goosen, Susanna Harder, Anna Hildebrandt, Elizabeth Clausen, Hildegard Knopf, Louise Lowen, Heidi Schrader, Katharina Wagner, and the others in other various care homes. Jake Dick, Mary Gunther, Annie Stein, Rob Bell, and of course Ella Bickert, who definitely needs our prayers. Let us also pray for those who are suffering in silence that we are not aware of and that also need your comfort. Let your loving peace surround us all. Amen.
Blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights? So what if takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know that pain reminds this heart that this is it's not home.
It's what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is a revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And what if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?
And our blessings are many. And I would like to invite some of our little blessings to come down for the children's story. Mrs. White has a story for you.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, buddy, come on back.
Back here, the story's over here.
Not yet. Ran right by me.
I am not.
That's okay. You're still a blessing. A big blessing now. Good morning. We're going to be talking about peace today. And when I looked up what I could talk about today, it said I should bring a teddy bear, but I never slept with a teddy bear. Can you all see what I slept with?
Doll.
It's a doll. Her name is Drowsy. And I loved her. And you can see she's wearing, hello? She's wearing an outfit that my Tante Elza knit for her because her real body is a mess. But I used her when I was scared, and she slept with me, and she kept me safe. How many of you guys are scared sometimes? They're not putting up their hands because they're shy. But we are all scared sometimes. And when we're little, it's great because we can get comforted by a teddy bear. But grown-ups feel a little silly holding a teddy bear. So today, in church, you're going to hear about peace and how we get peace. And when Jesus was with his disciples, he said to them, I'm going to read it so I don't forget, I am leaving you with a gift. So this was when he was going back up to heaven. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. Don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. I will come and get you so that you will always be with me. So Jesus has left the earth, but he sent his Holy Spirit to give us peace. Now, it's not something you can see, and it's hard for kids to understand stuff that you can't see. It's hard for grown-ups to understand stuff you can't see. But one of the reasons we come to church is because we get peace here. We get peace from being with other people that love Jesus like we do. And even though it's not a teddy bear that we can hold at night when we're sleeping and scared, it is something that we know is there and we can touch it and feel it. But it is a gift from God. The peace that we get here is a gift from God. So can we bow our heads for prayer? Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who guides us and calms our fears. We also thank you for the promise that one day we will be in heaven with Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. And you can go back and sit with your parents today.
To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me, Lord, I need to meet you there. in these waters, healing mercy flows with freedom from despair. I am going to that river. Lord, I need to meet you there. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there.
Come and join us
in the river. Come find life beyond compare. He is calling. He is waiting. Jesus longs to meet you there. He is calling. He is waiting. Jesus longs to meet you there. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there.
I will be reading from John chapter 14, 23 to 29. These are words that Jesus said to his disciples. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me and will not obey my teaching, these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe.
This weekend we are celebrating Remembrance Day. It is a special day in the life of the nation. And for somebody like me, who has been both a refugee and an immigrant, that brings up all sorts of questions. Which side are we on? And then I always answer myself, we are on God's side. And national boundaries, I don't care about. As a matter of fact, if I didn't have to have a passport from one nation, I would have one from every possible nation that I could get. So that we would not be bound by limits and boundaries that are artificial And more often than not, they are harmful rather than helpful. So when we celebrate this weekend, Mennonite Church Canada and Mennonites traditionally have instead put the emphasis on peace, not the remembrance of war. And whenever I put on a poppy, for me it is a symbol of peace, because that's what the original poem was all about, the dying for a cause that really had no relevance to most of them who were dying and being killed on either side, was that there might be peace, and that this sacrifice would never be necessary again. And it has led me to some questions about peace and war. And I have come to the conclusion that peace and war are not the opposites that we often think they are. You know, when I think in contrasts, and I'm, you know, well, guess that's my tradition. I'm trained in thinking in Hegelian philosophy, you know, thesis, antithesis, and then hopefully you come somewhere to a synthesis, you know, an agreement somewhere in the middle. But when I always think in contrast, and if you will tell me a thing, I often will take the opposite side just to elicit some responses that will help me understand you. People think I'm against them. That's not the case. I'm just trying to get clarity. What is the problem with peace and war? I think when we see that as the two opposites that balance each other out, we are really have limited the whole understanding of peace. Peace is much more than the absence of war. Much more. In the New Testament, the word for peace is Irene. Any one of you called Irene knows that you're called a peaceful one. But the Hebrew word that was translated into Greek is shalom. And shalom is much broader than just the absence of war. Shalom includes the whole well-being. So I've come to a conclusion, and that's very subjective and personal, and that is that the opposite of peace is not war. The opposite of peace is fear. It is fear that drives people to war. It is fear that reigns our life to a large degree. I heard a little story some years ago in the States. I don't know if it's true or not, but in any case, it's a good example. It's, you know, many of you traveled on airlines, right? I mean, you got long trips. Think back some years, planes were a lot slower, and trips took a lot longer, and they had to land in between somewhere. So there's this plane after a long trip, has a stop, and the attendant tells the passengers, since we'll be stopping for an hour, you're allowed to leave the plane and stretch your legs and board again so that we then can leave in about an hour's time. And everybody gets up and leaves except one man. He remains seated in his seat. So the pilot comes out and he sees the man sitting there, and then he takes a closer look and he says, oh, this man is blind because he has a guide dog lying by his feet there. So he says, sir, would you like to get out and stretch your legs? And the man says, no, thank you, but perhaps my dog would like to stretch his legs. If you don't mind, could you take him out? And the pilot says, sure. So he takes a guide dog, and he walks off the plane. Now imagine all the passengers at the gate. They were absolute quiet, seeing the pilot coming down the stairs with the guide dog, and he even has sunglasses on. And then there is a sudden movement, and everybody runs to the desk, change their flight reservation, because suddenly they were afraid, right? They were afraid. Fear reigns much of our life. Fear is a normal human response. It's part of everybody's life. Perhaps more so in some people than in others, but everybody at one time or another is afraid. Are we not? Things that can cause unexpected fear can grip our hearts. Mothers and fathers and children in the Mideast today are always afraid. Afraid in constant fear of another bomb blast or being caught in the bombardments or the crossfire in the war that's taking place. Parents here fear for their children. For there are so many reports in your news that, there are many people out there who might want to do them harm. We are afraid to leave our homes unlocked because somebody might walk in and do us harm. We are afraid not to meet our tight schedules, so we scramble and do our duty and obligations. We are afraid even of things like, what will people think of me? Afraid of the opinion of others on our own life and actions. Afraid even to utter our own opinions and convictions because we are afraid of ridicule or enmity. You see how much fear there is in your life? No wonder the Bible always prefaces almost every important announcement with, "Fear not." Do not be afraid. We are afraid of so many things, and that means we are not at peace. There is no peace in our life. Fear brings anxiety, worry, apprehension, dread, restlessness, panic, tension, none of which lead us to feel calm or peaceful or relaxed or without stress. I like cartoons. I don't know if you like cartoons, but that's one of the things I read every day in a paper. I think it's one of the more important parts of the newspaper. Because it always makes me laugh, because it reflects our human attitudes so well. And there was one once, you remember Calvin and Hobbes? Okay, Calvin and Hobbes cartoon. One day Calvin marches into the living room early in the morning. His mother sitting there in the easy chair, sipping a morning coffee. And there is little Calvin. He has a helmet on and a big cape that's right behind him. And in one hand he holds a flashlight, and in the other one a baseball bat. And mother looks at him and says, "What's up, Calvin?" And he said, "Nothing yet." And she says, "Not yet?" He says, "Well, if anything is going to happen today, by golly, I'm ready for it." And then the last part of the cartoon says, mother, sighing, says, "I need a suit like that." Don't we all? We need the suit that takes away the fear and where we are ready for everything that life throws our way and brings our way and gives us to carry. Now, I don't have a suit like Calvin's to give to you, but I have some word from Jesus that I think are quite important, and they enable us to say, whatever may come my way, I'm going to be ready for it. Bring it on. The story that you heard today, the text you heard from the Gospel of John, is part of the Last Supper. Jesus has spoken of his impending death. He tells his disciples that one of them will betray him. He has this little conversation with Peter, who will deny him 3 times. And then he talks about that they cannot follow him where he is going, and the disciples are dismayed and somewhat at a loss. Because what does he mean? Insecurity in life brings fear, right? And so they are afraid. Afraid. Their whole thought and attention had been on him since they followed him, and now they are faced with the thought of life without him. Where is he going that they can't follow him? And Jesus knows that they will be afraid, that will they be upset what will happen in hours to come. The disciples, afraid, uncertain, confused, and nervous, to them he says, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." And then he adds, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not that the world gives, give I to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled, neither let it be fearful." And the new